This is Marketplace. I'm Kai Rizdahl. Congress has some heavy economic lifting to do when lawmakers get back to Washington next week. Among the biggies, a vote on raising, or more likely just suspending, the debt limit. At the moment, September the 29th is the drop-dead date from the Treasury Secretary, subject to change, of course, depending on what happens with Harvey and its aftermath. The debt limit, of course, how much we are allowed to borrow to pay the money that we owe. But look, we've been down this debt limit road before. Will we default or won't we? We haven't. Yet, Congress always winds up raising the debt limit, and the president always signs off on it. So far, anyway. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer explains how we got here.
If Homer Simpson ever wanted to be Treasury Secretary, he might have some problems with the confirmation process, but he's already got one part of the job down.
Where's my money? Where's my money? Where's my money?
The history of the debt limit boils down to that question, asked over and over again since the days of Alexander Hamilton by Treasury secretaries looking to pay the bills. Here's current Secretary Steven Mnuchin performing the ritual in front of the House Ways and Means Committee last May.
I urge you to raise the debt limit before you leave for the summer.
In other words,
where's my money? Do you have my money? Where is it?
Treasury needs that money to cover expenses the government has already racked up for things like weapons, Social Security, Medicare. But Congress controls the purse strings, and it alone has the power to loosen them. That's no accident, says Tony Fratto, Assistant Treasury Secretary during the administration of George W. Bush.
You know, the Founding Fathers, they had a very clear memory of the kings of Europe spending and putting their countries into debt and then handing the legislature, their parliaments, the bill.
That meant Treasury had to get congressional approval every time it wanted to spend money. Francis Lee teaches government and politics at the University of Maryland.
So Congress would authorize borrowing for specified purposes like the Panama Canal or for the Spanish-American War.
Lee says the process was tedious and politically uncomfortable, and Congress micromanaged Treasury spending. Then something bigger came along that made voting on every expense a luxury the government couldn't afford, namely World War I.
President Woodrow Wilson conferred with advisors, then signed the Proclamation of War against Germany.
We were at war, and Treasury needed lots of money, fast. So in 1917, 100 years ago, Congress established two broad debt limits— one for short-term debt, one for long-term. Fast forward to 1939.
By his latest act of naked aggression, Hitler has committed a crime not only against Poland, but against the whole human race.
On the brink of World War II, Congress agreed to combine all of the government's debt under one limit. For years, it worked reasonably well. Congress didn't have to go through the political agony of voting on the debt limit that often. But now spending is increasing so fast, there are a lot more votes to raise or suspend the debt limit, making members of Congress who vote yes even more vulnerable to political payback.
The basic dynamic of Congress not wanting to raise the debt limit has been going on at least 40 years.
That's Mark Patterson. He was chief of staff at Treasury during the Obama administration. In 2011, Congress came so close to not raising the limit, Standard & Poor's took away the country's top credit rating. Patterson says everyone, including the president, was afraid Congress would let the U.S. default on its debt.
And it was an extremely tense period.
But nothing compared to the shutdown in 2013.
And good morning. We begin this Tuesday with the federal government grinding to a halt.
This was some bad timing. Like now, the debt limit decision came up right around the time the budget needed to be approved to keep the government running. I won't make you relive the shutdown. Let's just say the lights were out for 16 days. In the end, Congress did agree to raise the debt limit. So, why do we keep playing out this debt limit charade? Again, politics professor Francis Lee.
The politics of asking to permanently abolish the debt limit are very difficult.
Because voting to give Treasury an unlimited credit card when its balance is already nearly $20 trillion, that would be the riskiest vote of all. In Washington, I'm Nancy Marshall-Genzer for Marketplace.